Thank you for listening to the Wednesday Night Podcast with Eduardo Menjivar. To stay connected with us, visit eduardomenjivar.org.
The first week of February, we talked about the importance of honoring our mothers and our fathers. And so we talked about the blessings in that. And the Bible tells us that it's not an option, it's a command. And so there are promises from God when we honor our father and our mother. The second week, which was last week, we talked about friendships. There's different kinds of friends. I posted some of the points on Instagram, so you can save that or keep that or share it or repost it on your own, whatever, it doesn't matter. If there's ever anything that you want to share, you can take a screenshot and post it. You can crop my name out of it. I don't care if my name is on there or not, or the church logo or whatever, because the important thing is for the message to get out. And so it's not so much, oh man, I want people to know who our church is or who our youth group is. No, I'm sure people around town, especially Hispanics, know who our youth group is and who our church is, because we're the quote unquote weird ones, the ones that speak in tongues. So it's okay. They don't have to know more. However, so do that, save that, study that, because it's going to help you. And so these messages are a little different for me because I like to preach about the power of God, the miracles, signs, wonders, all of those things. And so sometimes when it comes to teaching and preaching about more practical things, sometimes I struggle. But today, I think it's probably a lot of people's favorite subjects, but it's one of the subjects that I've always had trouble teaching and sharing because I grew up in an environment where we had to basically fake perfection. You know, it's like you're the holy man of God, you're this or that, whatever. And so all of the failures and people that I dated in the past and all of these things, it was like I got to try to hide that and I can't teach from that. So it was always very hard. And I think last year was probably like one of the first times that I taught. But today, since we've already talked about families, last week we talked about friends, the different kinds of friends, friends to avoid, things that real friends don't do to each other. Today we're going to talk about relationships. So I've titled today's message, and it's so interesting because there's not a lot of people. And so, you know, when I think about that, I think to myself, you know, the people that are here are the people that are supposed to be here that need to hear this. Amen. So today's message is entitled Love Killers. Say with me, love killers. Let's go to Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15 is a very important passage. And if you have not read Song of Solomon, read it. You might be weirded out at first until you understand where he's coming from and why he's expressing himself the way that he is expressing himself. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. You got it? I'm going to read, you know, I like teaching and reading from the New Living Translation because it's very easy and simple to understand. It says like this, catch all the foxes, all the what? Foxes, those little foxes, before they ruin the vineyard of love, for the grapevines are blossoming. I'll read it one more time. Catch all the foxes, those little foxes. He makes a distinction here. It's not just any kind of fox. It's a small fox, little ones, before they ruin the vineyard of love, for the grapevines are blossoming. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that this word would stay with us, that we would be able to learn and understand and put forth today's message. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. So today's message is titled what? Love killers. There's a lot of things that will kill love. If you've ever talked to people who have been married for a couple of years, or even people that get divorces, they'll divorce. And one of the common things that you'll hear is that I just don't love them anymore, or we fell out of love. And it's always something to do with love. It's just, we just, you know, we weren't a match, you know. And sometimes I think about that, like, we just weren't compatible. And you figure that out after 20 years of being together? Like, you couldn't figure that out before? So when I've heard many people talk about that, then I started thinking about myself, that there's things that I found out about people later in life that I could have found out within the first 5 minutes, but I just decided not to pay attention. And there's a lot of what people call red flags that will come up and they're visible. However, when you are infatuated, when you are obsessed, when you have a goal in mind, those red flags mean nothing. You become colorblind to those red flags. and they don't mean anything. And so instead of seeing them as red flags, you think they're green flags. You see somebody that's very jealous, and you say, oh my gosh, he just loves me so much. He wants to protect me. No, that's a red flag. He's going to end up beating you. And so then that's why you find yourself, and there are many people that find themselves in situations that are detrimental. And you don't want to be another statistic. Years ago, there was a distinction between Christians, people that dated within the church and got married within the church. The divorce rate was less than 10%. Recently, do you want to know what it is? The divorce rate is 50%. You know what the divorce rate in the world is? Also 50%. In other words, there's no distinction, there's no difference between a marriage that takes place within the church and outside of the church. Why is that? You have to ask yourself that question. Why is that? I'll tell you why. Because there are love killers that people refuse to see. There are love killers that not only people refuse to see, but other people have no idea that what they're doing is killing the love, killing the relationship, killing the friendship, killing the marriage. And the Bible talks about this and says, catch all the foxes, those little foxes. Say with me, little. The little foxes. There are small things that are detrimental and are sent your way to destroy your marriage, to destroy your friendship. It says, before they ruin the vineyard of love. What do these foxes do? They ruin the vineyard of love. They ruin love relationships. That's what they do. Why? Because when you don't catch them in time, they will ruin anything that has the name of love all over it. And then it says, for the grapevines are blossoming. Why is that important? That is important for the following reason. Because these foxes don't ruin the vineyard after the grapevines have already blossomed. Notice that it says, for the grapevines are blossoming. In other words, they are in the middle of producing fruit. And when they are in the middle of producing fruit, that is when the small little foxes run into the vineyard, eat the fruit. And so in other words, what this looks like is, as you start your relationship, sooner or later, everybody in here will get married. Unless you want to be single the rest of your life and you're one of those like, I'm just single the rest of my life. And you know, I just, the calling of God over me. No, it's not. But the will of God for everybody here is to get married. That's why the Bible says in Genesis, go into all the earth. And what does it say? Multiply, populate it, have babies. That's what it's saying. Don't have a bunch of cats and dogs and hamsters and parrots. No, have babies. That is the command of God over his children. And so, oh, my bad, Fern has two cats. Wasn't saying it because of Fern and Claudio, my bad. Eventually, we'll see little Fernandos and little Claudios running around. Little Fernandos taking pictures. That post-production team's going to grow with every child they have. And so, as the grapevines begin to produce fruit, notice that that's when the little foxes come and attack. And what does this look like for all of us? It looks like the following. Once you start finding those people that are going to be lifelong friendships, that's when the little foxes come. It's not after you became best friends. It's while you're in the process. It's not after you fell in love. It's while you're falling in love that the little foxes come. It's not after you've already gotten married. It's while you're in the process that the little foxes come and they come to attack and to stop that fruit from producing. And so you have to catch these things before they grow. Write this down. What you don't confront today will only grow. And so when you begin to see foxes in other people's lives, in other words, do you have the AC on? Yeah, it's cold. I took off my jacket because I was like, man, I'm sweating. And I thought it was because of this window. I was like, man, that is a strong breeze. Well, now I know. My hands are cold. So is it off?
Yeah, it's hot.
Okay. Do you guys want the heater on?
No. No, because they're going to say it's hot and then it's going to be cold.
What you don't confront today will only grow tomorrow. When you begin to see characteristics in people, you have to take notice of those things. Doesn't matter how big or how small. Notice that the Bible says, the Bible doesn't say the foxes or the big foxes. It says the little foxes. Why does it say the little foxes? Because it is the little foxes that are able to get into the small little openings of the vineyard. When I used to work for a bank, I remember I was taking some training classes. And you know what's very interesting is they gave us a test. And they gave us a real $100 bill. And the whole purpose of this test was to learn all the characteristics of the $100 bill. And they gave us this list of things. And in the list of things, it said how much it weighed, what the real size was, the color, how to notice counterfeit money. So what was so interesting to me is that their thought process was, if you can learn to recognize the real $100 bills, you will learn to recognize counterfeit $100 bills. And when I was thinking about this message, I thought about that. And the reason being is because most people, most young people don't know how to recognize a good man or a good woman because either A, they've never been around a good man or a good woman, or B, they refuse to see the good in a man or a woman. In other words, if you've grown up with men who have been terrible your whole life, they've never provided for the house, they've been disrespectful, you grow up seeing all the negative characteristics in men. And so then you have a problem and you have an issue with men. And so then you become this person that requires so much of a man that no man except Jesus can give you that. So you end up single the rest of your life. And so the reason I bring that up is because it happens also with men. You grow up in a household, a broken household, where the mother was never there, where the mother, if she was there, she never provided. So you grow up with this mentality. So then you start to require so much of a woman that no woman can give you that. And so you end up with relationship after relationship, and eventually you just end up single the rest of your life. And why is that? Because you never had a role model. So it is important for everybody that's here to find the role model, to learn what it means to be a real man, to learn what it means to be a real woman. Because all of us that are in here, at some point, we're going to get married, we're going to have a family, and we're going to have children. And that is something that happens in life that unless you really, I don't know, unless you die, you can't get married. Everybody is basically hardwired for that, for relationships. We've been studying that. But if you don't know what to look for in a person, you will always, 100% of the time, make the wrong choice. You will always take the wrong person because you don't know what to look for. So in the same way, that's why many bankers, they have counterfeit money. Why? Because they don't know what to look for. So today, I want to go over just a couple of things very quickly so that you can know what to look for, at least some of the things to look for. So I made a checklist for you. Is that okay? You can write this checklist down. But it is important to know that what you don't confront today will grow tomorrow. The habits that go unchecked today will come to ask for payment tomorrow. The sins that you don't kill today will produce more sins tomorrow. So it is important that you take notice of your own character and other people's character. Why? Next week, we're going to talk about the importance of not finding the one, but being the one. But today, we're going to talk about love killers. I already told you that. So checklist. So say this with me. This is a checklist for my future. Somebody read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. Is there another water by any chance? Anybody have another one? Thank you. Anybody got it? Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Whoever has it, read it out loud. Come on, Gina, read it out loud.
Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, that it may go well with you, that you may live long in the land.
She almost became a heretic. She said that it may not go well for you. The Bible says, honor your father and mother in the Lord. Why? Because this is the first commandment with a promise. The first checklist today that you should Find out the person that you're dating, the person that you're kind of laying eyes on, that little boy that you got a crush on, that he needs a haircut, or the little girl that she needs to put on makeup, whatever. Make sure that you see this in them. The Bible says to honor our father and our mothers. Yes? So number one, respect for authority. Respect for their father, respect for their mother. Why is this important? This is very important because if they don't respect their parents now, they won't respect their spouses in the future. If they don't know how to respect authority today, they won't know how to respect authority in their household tomorrow. What does the Bible say about men? They are the head of the household. In other words, when God wants to judge a household, who does it come upon? The man. The man has more responsibility. The man has a responsibility before God to present his family before him. So if there are children that don't serve the Lord, if there are things going on in the house that God is not pleased with, he doesn't go after the wife, he doesn't go after the children, he goes after the man, because the man is the head of the household. You want to know if a person is going to respect you in the future when you become a spouse, yes or no? The way that you will know is, how do they treat their parents? How do they treat their father? How do they treat their mother? And you might say, well, I don't really live with my mom. Who's your mother figure? Who's your stepmom? Who's your stepdad? Who's your father figure in your life? Well, I really don't have one. I just have my grandparents. Who do you respect in your life? Because the way you respect them is the way that you're going to respect your spouse. People will say, no, it's just different because, you know, we're just in love, you know, and it just, he makes me so happy. No. That feeling will fade away in most, I was going to say theologians, but they're not theologians. What would you call them? Most experts will say within 2 to 3 years, that feeling will go away. And then you're left with your true self. So always pay attention. How do they treat their father? How do they treat their mother? How do they respect them? And I'll give you a couple of examples because I've seen it everywhere, wherever I go preach, wherever, whenever I'm traveling, and as I've grown up, and also examples for myself. We live in a day and age where, because of social media, there is this blurred line of respect with our authorities. So then what ends up happening is that it is so easy for us to not respect our parents because we see them as a friend. So we begin to treat our authorities the same way we treat our friends. Our parents are not our friends. Your parents might have told you that. They're wrong. They're your parents. They're not your friends. They're your parents. Your friends are people you see around here, people you see in school. If you treat your parents the same way that you treat your friends, you have no respect for authority. Why do I say that? Because there's things that I can joke about with Ariel that I would never joke about with my parents. I would never say that to my parents. And the problem with that is the following. I'll start with women and then I'll start with men. The number one thing that men want in this life is what? In relationships. Who said that? You said that? Men want respect. That's all they want. They don't care. You know how to cook or not? You know how to make a sandwich? Yeah. All right, cool. As long as you give me respect, we're good. That's what men want. What do women want? Women? Huh? What'd you say? Did you say respect? Is that what you said? Attention? Oh, like, hey, man, that woman probably got a mustache and some facial hair. She wants respect. Women want what? They want affection. They want protection. They want to know that, hey, my life is in your hands. Everything's going to be all right. What ends up happening is when there's blurred lines of respect with your parents, as you get married, as you grow into a relationship, you start to disrespect your spouse in front of people, because all your life you were so used to making fun of your parents or joking with your parents. So now you're married, and guess what? You got this great young man and you're dating him. And so the same way that you treated your authority, you start to treat them. And you know what's going to end up happening? You'll end up by yourself, because men, what they want is respect. There's things that Karen and I joke about. There's things that my parents joke around when they are by themselves, but they won't joke around in front of other people. You want to know why? And I'll see it in my mother, because she'll show respect to my dad in front of people. And there are things that we could say, and we've learned it the hard way. I remember when we were young, I remember one time we were, I think it was like Mexico or somewhere. My dad was going to buy something. And so they're like, hey, yeah, we'll give you this for, I don't know, like 10 bucks. And I was like, oh, yeah, well, maybe next time, maybe on the way back. And then one of us was like, Dad, we're not coming back this way. Remember, you said that we were going to go. And then we got slapped. And have you ever heard when adults are talking, you don't talk? You ever heard that? So then if you haven't, well, now you did. So what ended up happening is in that moment began the process of me understanding when my dad is taking care of things, I don't butt in. When there's things that I could make fun of in front of people, I don't say anything to him. Why? Because I give the man respect. And for the woman, what do they want? Affection, protection. And so what ends up happening is when you grow up as a young man, you don't clean your house, your room, your car's a mess. You work and you're like, I'll just spend it on whatever. Those habits, what you don't confront today will only grow tomorrow. What ends up happening is when you get married, when you get in a relationship, that lack of discipline will follow you. So guess what? The woman comes into the house. The room's a mess. The house is a mess. You have no money. You got to wait until the next paycheck. What is she feeling? She's not feeling protected. She's not feeling like she has the attention that she needs. And so the things that you practice today, if it's lack of disrespect, will only magnify tomorrow. So that's why men, you can be the most beautiful woman in the world, and men will never say, nah, man, this girl's crazy. Why? She talks to everybody in a disrespectful manner. She makes fun of everybody. She has no respect for her parents. So if she has no respect for her parents, she won't have respect for me. And women, the same way. Go check out the guy's cars. If you like a little boy from church, go ask the mom, does he clean his room? What's his room looking like? Is he wearing the same socks that he wore last week? Like, has he washed clothes at all? Who does his laundry? Is it you or is it him? Because that will only magnify into showing protection or not. Does that make sense? Respect for the spouse begins at home with their current authority. So who are the parents? Ask yourself, how do I treat my parents? How do I show respect to them? Every time they ask me for something, do I always have something to say back? And then, all of us, because we're Hispanics, no, man, I'm still jugando. No, está jugando. I was just kidding. I was just playing. I was just kidding. That's not a way of saying sorry. You've already said it. So those are habits you need to unroot. Those are the little foxes that come to eat the fruit, the grapevine. And if you're not careful, those things will come and cause you grave consequences tomorrow. Number two, your checklist, jealousy. Say with me, jealousy. Jealousy. And jealousy is one of those things that you're supposed to have in a relationship. Otherwise, like, the person doesn't love you. Like, imagine somebody's in a relationship. And they're like, oh, yeah, I'll be over there later, but I'm going to go spend some time with this girl real quick. Or with this guy real quick, how would you feel? Does that make you a little jealous? Makes you a little upset? So jealousy is good to a certain extent. However, uncontrolled jealousy, that's what you need to look out for. How do you find that if you're not dating somebody? How do you notice that they are jealous people? It's very easy. Just watch and pay attention to their character, to their temper. Do they have a temper? And when they get upset, do they get out of control? Do they get out of control? In other words, do they get mad and just start punching holes in the wall? Or maybe they don't get mad, do they just start crying uncontrollably and nobody can comfort them? Do they go either extreme and it's just uncontrollable? Jealousy is one of those things that is very silent. It's one of those silent characteristics, but will blossom greatly in a relationship. And you have to be careful with those things. This is what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28. It says this: a person without self-control is like a city with broken down walls. Does jealousy lead to anger? Does it lead to them losing control? Does it lead them to be emotional? The Bible says a person without self-control is like a city without broken walls. Why is that important? It's important because back in the day, a city to protect itself built walls around it. A city that didn't have walls around it was a city that was unprotected. In other words, anybody could come and conquer it. Anybody could come and take away its riches. Anybody could come and kill the people, the inhabitants. when you don't have self-control, whether it be with anger, whether it be with any uncontrolled emotion, when you don't have self-control, anybody can come and conquer you. Anybody can make you do what they want you to do. The devil can make you do whatever he wants you to do. You are easily manipulated when you have no self-control. And that is one of the biggest problems that you will see in a lot of young people. They have no self-control. They get upset. There's people that start punching holes in the walls. It's like, and they start doing the fist. And they go punch the pillow. I've done that when I was younger. I don't do that anymore. Obviously, I'm 36. That would be weird. But I was 15 years old. I would punch the pillow and I'd get so mad. And then one time I was like, I'm not going to punch a hole in the wall because I always talk about that. So you know what I did? It was really stupid. I grabbed a baseball and I threw it at the wall. And then I put a picture frame over it. And then when it was time for me to move out, my mom saw it and I was 18 and she was still mad. So anyway, she still brings it up to this day. But uncontrolled anger, if it does not go unchecked, will become one of those love killers in your relationship tomorrow, in your friendship tomorrow, in your marriage tomorrow. You don't start building your marriage tomorrow when you find the boy or the girl or the person you want to marry. You start building it today, because the foundation for your marriage begins today when you're young, and what kind of person you're looking for and what kind of person you're going to be. So within jealousy, what ends up happening is that people will act kind of, what time is it? Somebody tell me. 8:38. All right, I'm going to hurry up. So then forget the little transitional statements. Two questions. How is she or how is he with your family? Are we just friends or are we dating? And if they're dating, if you're dating, how are they with your family? Why? Because if it's important, because if there is no effort to have a relationship with the opposite family, it will always lead to a one-sided relationship. You don't want that. You want a relationship that is healthy both ways. You can't be someone and you can't date someone that only wants to take, take, take and never give. You have to be with someone who says, you know what? Yes, come spend time with my family. But yes, I will go spend time with your family as well. You have to be well balanced in both of those areas. Otherwise, when it becomes a one-sided relationship, what ends up happening is in the family, there ends up being tension. Man, this is not a family conference. Let me just keep going, because I'm talking to everybody here like you guys are getting married tomorrow. Dating is not the same as being married. Say it with me. Dating is not the same as being married. Each person has their own things to do. You are dating. You are not married. You are not supposed to spend 24/7 together. You're in a dating relationship. Secondly, if you're not even dating and you're quote unquote talking, which is what everybody does. I have my own thoughts about that. But oh, we're just talking. What does that mean? That just leads to confusion. So you need to define the relationship. Are we something? Are we dating or are we not? Because if we're not dating, then don't expect anything from me. Save your money. But if we are dating, then it's different. But if you're dating, remember that you are not married. Save things for marriage. Aside from all the affection and physical touch, not save things for marriage. You don't have to, oh, I'm going to San Antonio with my family. Do you want to come? You don't have to do everything together. You're dating. There's a reason why it's called dating and not marriage. Does that make sense? So when you begin to, in your dating relationship, you begin to treat it like it's marriage. What ends up happening is you start, it's like your heart's taking punches and punches and punches. Why? Because more than likely, if you're dating in high school, you're not going to marry that person. You're just not. I hate to break it to you, but you're not. You're head over heels for them, but you're not going to marry that person. Why? Because you still got a lot of growing to do. Everybody does. And so when you spend all your time and effort on a person, the moment that you break up, what ends up happening is you're so emotionally damaged that now you don't want to go through the same thing again. I don't want to go through the whole, I got to go meet the family. And all right, here, listen, we're getting to know each other. You get tired. Your heart at some point gets tired. And that's why it's important to hunt down and to catch those little foxes. Find out these things beforehand. And so because I'm talking about dating, I'm going to go kind of all over the place before I close out, because I just got one more point and I'll close out. But if you're thinking about dating, ask yourself the following question. I used to have my own thoughts about this, but then now I'm like, oh, now it makes sense. I see what people were trying to say this whole time. Back in the day, I used to hear people say, don't date until you're ready to get married. Have you ever heard that? Then I heard other people say, you should date. Date as many people as you can, because how are you going to know who you're compatible with? And I was like, you know what? I kind of like that idea. And here we are. It's like, oh, snap. I should have paid attention to the first thing. Here's the reason. If you're thinking about dating, you need to ask yourself this question. Am I ready to date? If the answer is yes, okay, great. Now ask yourself this question. Am I ready to get married within 2 years? If the answer is no, then you're not ready to date. Because dating will only lead to sin if you're not dating to get married. That's all that's gonna happen. Because you're dating, oh, we're just in love, you know, we just like to post these cute pictures on Instagram, and, you know, like, we just love you, Jesus, we're worshiping together, and okay, when are you going to get married? Oh, we don't know yet, you know, he still wants to go to college, and I want to go to college, and so you're not looking to get married. What you're doing is wasting each other's time, and you're beating your heart up while you're doing that. And thirdly, you're opening the door to sin. That's all you're doing. Somebody, one of the people from the church, I don't know, I guess they were trying to investigate. They invited me to preach, and they were like, we see you're getting married. I go, yeah. Huh, that's interesting. And I was like, okay, this is weird, man. That's a weird way to go about this conversation. I said, why do you ask? He said, how long you been dating? I said, oh, long enough. And he said, like a year, 2 years, 3 years. I was like, ah, a couple months. He goes, oh. So why do you want to get married so soon? Look, man, if you're what you're asking, is she pregnant? No, she's not. Oh, no, that's not what I was asking. I was like, okay. And so I told him this, and it made sense. I said, I'm 36, man. If I want to get married, I'm not going to date for 5 years. I'll be 41. I'll be 41. I said, so if I'm serving the Lord and I want to protect and I want to do things right before the Lord, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to date. I'm like, okay, you want to get married? Yeah. Okay. You cool? Yeah. All right. Let's do it. Why wait? So the question that I have for people that date for years and years and years, what are you waiting for? So don't date unless you're ready to get married. Okay. Let's close this thing up. Number three, your checklist. Third checklist. I'm looking forward to next week's, because next week's is like really exciting. Number three, what do they do in their free time? What do the people that you're looking into or you kind of like, what do they do in their free time? Why is this important? Here's how I would really phrase this. Do they have initiative? Does everybody know what initiative is? If not, you can Google it. This is very important because the Bible says in 1 Timothy 5:8, it says, but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. The Bible says in Proverbs 10:4, it says, lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. There's nothing worse than having to pull dead weight around your whole life. It is important for you to ask these questions to people. This is part of your checklist. Find out if they take initiative or not. Where do you work? How long have you been working there? How much money do you make? Don't be scared to ask that question. Everybody's going to be like, oh, I just, you know, I make more or less. How much do you make an hour? I remember the first time I asked Karen about how much, like, do you get paid? I forgot. She was like, oh, I'll make like between this and this. And I was like, how much do you make an hour between this and this? So you make this much? No. How much do you actually make? Why? It is important that you know these things, because you don't want to get involved with someone who's making $7.50 working at Kroger, and then you're having all these dreams and desires. Secondly, you don't want to marry somebody who doesn't even have a job. Find people that take initiative. Now, if you're a full-time student, there's an exemption, obviously. You can't do both things. Like, you know, Yadira, Kayla, she's going to university. Who else is in school here? Dakota, Angie, Sammy, Tony. There's a couple of people that are in school. Which, by the way, quick pause. I bring to you this commercial very quickly because I just remembered. If you're is anybody graduating high school this year? Got one, two, three, four. Oh, three. Okay, great. Okay, there's an opportunity in Dallas. Anybody ever heard of ORU? So ORU has a campus in Dallas. And you go once a week in person to receive classes, and then everything else you can do online. But they charge, if you're from Philadelphia, they're charging you $10,000 for a semester. That's before FAFSA and Pell Grants. After FAFSA and Pell Grants, they're thinking anywhere from $800 to $1,000. But if you're from Iglesia Philadelphia, you get an additional 10% discount. So then technically, you go to school for zero. And it's ORU, Oral Roberts University, that's in Tulsa. But now you don't have to drive all the way over there. You can still take classes here. And so anyways, if you want to find out more information, you can ask me later. But anyways, back to this. Find people that have initiative. Find people that are doing something with their free time. So like, for example, I was talking to Oscar yesterday. And Oscar right now, he works in landscaping. And right now it's cold. There's not a lot to do. So what has Oscar done in the middle of all this free time? You know what he did? He went and spent $7,000. He bought a camera. He bought a computer. What is he learning? He's learning to take pictures. He's learning to take video. He's learning to make reels. He's the one that makes all the reels. Jessica went out with her free time and she bought a computer, a laptop, and she learned to do graphic design. Now she does all the graphic design. You want somebody who takes initiative, who is using their free time to produce something. You don't want to end up with someone who says, you know what, today's an off day. I'm just going to watch TV all day. We're just going to binge watch Netflix or whatever show, Night Agent. We're going to watch Night Agent, and then we're going to watch Casa de Papel or whatever it is. No, you want somebody who is using their free time well. Why? Because the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4, lazy hands make for poverty. There are people that when they got married, when they started a family, they had money. Now they live paycheck to paycheck. You want to know why? Because there's no initiative. There is no vision for the future. If you end up with someone who has no vision for the future, I'll tell you something. The rest of your life, you're going to end up living life like you're pulling a donkey around everywhere you go. Because you have to do everything for them. They're depending on your salary. They don't do anything for their own. So find somebody who maybe they started off at customer service. Now they're doing customer service in person. And they keep growing and growing. Because the Bible says that the Christian grows from glory to glory, victory to victory. That's not just talking about the spiritual stuff. That's talking about life itself. You started at the bottom. I mean, like Drake. You know, started at the bottom, now you're here. But you're not going to stay here the rest of your life. You're going to escalate. You're going to grow. Look at Isaac, for example. He started off cutting hair in his room. I still remember going to his house and getting a haircut, and it was all jacked up. But I was like, here you go. I'm paying you. And then he was like, no, you ain't got to pay me. I was like, no, I'm paying you because I believed in him. So what did he do? He found a place in Van Alstyne. And then he moved up. He moved to another place in Sherman. He gets more money now. He gets paid more. He's growing. That is a characteristic that has to be in the Christian. You have to find people who are continuously growing. Continuously growing. Adding on businesses. Growing. Having ideas. Exploring things. I learned how to cut hair. Taught myself. And now only cut pastor's hair. That's why if you see him jacked up, it's because of me. Sometimes when I don't have money or I don't have time to go get a haircut, I'll cut my own hair. So if you see my hair jacked up, it's because I cut it on my own. So I learned to cut hair. I learned how to make t-shirts. I learned how to make clothes. I learned how to design. I learned all of these things. Why? Because that is the life of a Christian. It's not just walking in power and praying 24/7 and how much Bible you know. It's what are you doing with what you already know? What are you doing with what you already know? Learn to grow. Have initiative. Don't be somebody who slacks, because the Bible says that slack will bring poverty. That's what it says. It brings poverty. You want to be a broke person the rest of your life? Then do nothing with your free time except play video games. Do the work now, and it's going to pay off tomorrow. Can you say amen? Amen. All right, let's pray real quick because it's probably already 9 o'clock. What time is it? 8:51. All right, so I got 9 more minutes. I'm just kidding. Let's stand up. So next week, we're going to talk about the importance of being the one, not looking for the one. I hope somebody learned something today. I did. Yeah, there's just so much more that I wish I could share, but at some point, hopefully, maybe next week, I don't know. We'll see. Let me pray for you guys. Take this into consideration. Number one, what was number one? Respect. Respect for the authority. Respect for the parents. See how they, and this is something that's very basic. The way that he treats his mom is how he's going to treat you, ladies. The way she treats the father is how she's going to treat you, young men. So you want to know if you're going to marry a good woman, how do they treat the father? How does he treat the mom? Now, I do want to say this because I thought about this earlier, actually like 2 days ago, and I forgot to write it down. Honoring your parents is not just being at home. You got a question?
Yeah.
Oh, what's up?
What about like mama's boys?
Oh, mama's boys? Yeah, stay away from mama's boys. You don't want that. Here's the reason why. Here's the reason why. I'm going to stand up here because everybody's standing. The reason this turned like into a Q&A. I love these. The reason you don't want a mama's boy is for the following reason. Because you're not going to marry one person. You're going to marry two people. And a three-person relationship does not work. It's a recipe for chaos. So find out, well, just my mom. You know what? I need to ask my mom. You know, my mom, where's your dad? Because it's always your mom. So that tells you all you need to know right there. Because if the mom is the one that's always handling everything and she's the one that's doing everything, then that tells you she's growing up in a household where the mom controls everything and does everything. And the dad's just kind of, I'm just here for the check and pay the bills. Then run. Run as fast as you can. You don't want a mama's boy. You don't want a mama's girl. You want... Hold on. Let me rephrase it. You don't want a mama's boy. And then, guys, it's up to you if you want a daddy's girl, because she's going to be rough. And so if you're going to marry a daddy's girl, make sure you're rough, too. You don't want to be weak. So anyways, that was just something I was going to say before I got into it. What was I saying? Do y'all remember? It was really good, too. Huh?
We were talking about marriage.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So honoring... For the girls and for the girls, the guys, you can say, oh my gosh, he's so romantic, he brings me flowers, and oh my gosh, he sends me these beautiful texts and everything. Go ask the mom, say, hey, how often does he bring you flowers? How often does he text you randomly, hey, I love you? When he talks to you on the phone, does he say okay, bye, or does he even say bye? Because I've talked to a couple of the guys. I'm like, all right, bro, I'll see you later, ding ding ding, and I'm like, bro, you didn't even say bye. Here's the thing. It's very easy to be romantic in the beginning. But if you want to know if they truly honor their mother, their father, what do they do now? Does he bring her flowers? Does she randomly go and say, you know what? Thank you for everything you do for this household. Because that's who you're marrying. You're not marrying the front that people put up. Oh, here's the flowers. Here's the chocolates. Oh, my gosh. It's been $150 on Valentine's Day just because I love you so much. No. What do they get the mom? They get the mom some Hershey's Kisses from the Dollar Tree. That's what you're going to get. So examine everything and make sure that you catch the little foxes in time before they ruin the vineyard. Can you say amen? Lift up your hands. I want to pray for you. Father, thank you for everybody here.
Thank you for listening to the Wednesday Night Podcast. If you want to help us take the gospel to this generation, consider becoming a partner at eduardomenjivar.org. See you next time.